Welcome back to the Lindsay Morgan Snyder podcast, where we are all about the internal world, the interior life. Speaking of which, we have a workshop coming up. If you like this podcast, it is not really supported by anyone except yours truly. But if you buy my products, that helps me continue to do this. So if you have any interest in facing and overcoming your inner critic so that you can step into the new thing that God has for you, then I suggest going to the show notes, paying $27, and jumping in this live workshop that I am going to do at the end of the month. Would love to have you be a part of that. All right, welcome to the show. Hey guys, welcome back. We are going to talk tonight about the inner critic. Now you might say, Lindsay, we just did a whole series on self-hatred. Why do we have to talk about the inner critic? Well, let me tell you why. Because the inner critic is kind of a conglomerate umbrella type of person. Okay, it's not a person, but you know, it's like a entity, or you know, it's just a name, but it is a conglomerate of multiple things that go on that I like to culminate as the mean voice. Now, the mean voice can come from different places. I know this is getting weird. It's getting technical, guys, but it's all good. It's coming from, self-hatred can be one piece of the inner critic, okay? The inner critic unchecked can also lead to self-hatred. So there's some crossover in all of this, right? But the good news is we can turn our inner critics into inner encouragers, okay? I've done it. I have seen it happen in my own life, and it's kind of miraculous because I had an inner critic for a long time. Now, here's the thing about the inner critic. He goes unnoticed for a long time until he doesn't, right? And this is what I found. He typically comes out, I call him a he, it could be a she. One of my clients calls her inner critic the mean girl, which I think is hilarious. And yes, that is very true as well, but I call him he for some reason. Anyway, my inner critic likes to come out and rear its ugly head when I'm getting ready to do something new, when I'm getting ready to step into something that God has for me, right? That God has for me to do, or a dream that he has for me to step into. That's typically when the inner critic rears its ugly head. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know and like just become aware of the inner critic, it will sabotage you without you even knowing. And then you will blame yourself and beat yourself up, and you'll probably blame God. Look, it's not a great thing. I know. So we like to expose the inner critic, right? I have like a 25-part series on an expose on the inner critic on my podcast, actually early on, if you want to check that out. But I'm also so excited, can I tell you, getting ready to do my first ever live workshop on the inner critic, and I'm only charging $27 for it. Dollars, you know? So this is not going to be priced this probably ever again. So I would love for y'all to jump on in. Let's do this. It's going to be like an hour, 90 minutes tops with questions. 25th of October, there's going to be an encore session. You can come to both. You can come to one. But I would love for you to go to the link in the show notes and join us, y'all. $27 is so worth some of your mental health, okay? The inner critic can cause and does cause what we like to say is mental health issues. Now, I'm not saying that all mental health issues are the inner critic, but I am saying I use the word inner critic to kind of keep it light and fun, but I'm telling you, these intrusive thoughts that try to stop us and sabotage us, like, I'm telling you, it is a mental game, right? It is in our mind. So we need to become aware of this. We need to not be like, oh, Lindsay's just teaching her inner critic. No, y'all, this is for real, okay? Because look, God has things for all of us to do, right? Like great things, amazing things, sometimes kind of hard things, but he is a good God and he has good things for us to do. And I want to share today on the podcast about, and I'm going to do a little series on this, okay? On these four different things that God led me to do that I had to overcome inner critic in order to like accomplish them, okay? So the first thing we're going to talk about is writing my book. So I don't know how many aspiring authors there are out there, but I am sure there are a bunch, right? Because I believe everyone has a book in them and most people have multiple books in them. But I believe a lot of those books go unwritten because, well, the inner critic. Honestly, I hate to put it all on him, but y'all, I just think that I've dealt with this long enough to know a thing or two. So, you know, often we will, you know, yeah, we will hear these excuses in our head, right? We'll justify things, right? We'll hear things like, oh, you know, there's so many books, no one reads books anymore. You know what I mean? We'll hear things like that. And in our minds, right? And they're thoughts and they sound like us. And so we think that, you know, they're real. We think that they're normal. But I'm here to tell you, they're not normal. And they're not real. And they're not you, actually. Now, they can be a couple different things going on, which, like I said, we're going to talk about. We're going to get into the details. And we're going to do some deliverance in the workshop. We are going to do some healing in the workshop. It's going to be so powerful. But I'm going to tell you the story, and you can cathartically go with me through the story and get some healing right now. So let's go, right? There's always ways to grow and develop with God. So if you are an aspiring author, then this podcast might be for you. So my journey with writing my book, it doesn't sound hard to write a book, but then you start doing it and you're like, why is this a little harder than I was thinking? Which is most things, actually. So my journey to writing a book started 12 years ago, actually, when I started to write a blog. And this is kind of back in blogging days. I did it on my lunch break, my 9-to-5, had a 9-to-5 job. I worked in sales for a company that was originally started by John Maxwell. And then Chick-fil-A was our sponsor. So it's called the Chick-fil-A Leader Cast. Amazing people I worked with, amazing conferences that we put on with amazing speakers, and it was authors, and it was just such a joy. Amazing coworkers, all loved it. So during my lunch break, I would just write. And I felt at one point, God was like, why don't you like put this on a blog, you know? And I was like, well, I don't know how to do that. But luckily, God is so smart and he will show us how to do things, which is so fun. And so he showed me how to do that. And I had some friends that helped too. And I remember needing to post my first blog post. And when I say terrified, I can't explain. It was intense. The intensity was so palatable. Is that the right word? Palatable. It was crazy. And it was like something I had to like push through. I didn't really know a lot about the inner critic back then. I just knew I was scared out of my mind, but I wanted to obey God. And so I pressed publish. And what was I scared of? Well, I wish I would have known what I was scared of, but I didn't know back then. I didn't know enough to like ask myself, what are you scared of, Lindsay? You know what I mean? And so I didn't know. It was even fear, actually, because fear also hides and masquerades as other things and pretends to be us, but it's not really us. And it likes to hide behind things like wisdom. Oh, I still struggle with it. Don't worry. We all do. But we have to learn strategies in order to get around this stuff so we can do what God's called us to do, so we can step into those dreams and, you know, not have regrets later in life, right? Because I would say regrets often lead to self-hatred, and we know self-hatred is not a fun friend. So anyway, we want to just get all that out of our way, right? And walk with power. So I published my first podcast. Okay, I just gave you a little clue to another thing we're going to be talking about in this series. Not tonight, not today. I'm recording this at night, but not today. But in the future, we're going to also talk about the journey of starting my podcast, but not tonight. Tonight's the book. So back to the blog. A lot of things going on here, guys. Back to the blog. I published it. I was so nervous about what some of my friends were going to think because I was talking about God in my blog and I was a new Christian. And I had a lot of friends that I've known for many years who I love dearly who maybe didn't understand my newfound faith. And I was so nervous about what they were going to say. Funny enough, they were the ones who were like, "This is so awesome, Lance. We're so proud of you." It was so funny. That was like, I feared the exact opposite of what ended up happening, which is a lot of times what happens. So that was great, right? But guess what? It took me a year to write a second blog. Isn't that hilarious? It took me a year to write a second blog, almost to the day, which is just kind of weird. But anyway, we overcome, right? We overcome the inner critic little by little, moment by moment, step by step, like line by line. You know, I just feel like we can bust through like one critter, you know, and then another critter pops up when we go to do the next thing, even if it's just post the next blog for me. So 8 years later, I live in LA, you know, felt called by God to come to LA, did not know what I was doing, was ravished by fear. Fear was like my friend I did not know that was in my head, you know. And it was so intense. I can't even really explain, nor do I even want to go back there. But I learned a lot about all this stuff. Mental, emotional, you know, stuff, right? So I was in LA and I sensed God said, "I want you to turn your blog into a book." And I thought, well, how do I do that? And I sensed he said, "Google it." I love when God's practical. So I Googled it, how to turn a blog into a book. And I found this little 9-step process on the internet, on the World Wide Web. And I thought, well, there you go. So I went ahead and kind of followed their little, you know, procedure formula. And so I suddenly kind of had this, like, you know, several page document, you know, the beginning of a manuscript. And I tried to get a publisher for a book years earlier. And I wrote this huge book proposal and I had it all done super nice. And I got it in on this contest and this whole thing. And it never actually went anywhere. I pitched it to a couple different publishers. One publisher loved the idea. She thought it was great. The other ones were like, "Oh, we've already got something like this." And that was when the book was about something else, actually. It was going to be named after my blog. My first blog, by the way, was called Putting the Pencil Down. And it was this idea of like, stop trying to write your own story. Like, stop trying to control. Look, control is always rooted in fear. If you try to control things, there's something you're afraid of. That's a freebie, okay? So when you see yourself controlling, you need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of, right? So that's what I was going to write my book about because that's what my blog was about. So when I pitched it, you know, the one lady was like, "Ah, we already have stuff like this." The other woman, her name was Hope, which is beautiful, right? She was very encouraging. "I think you're a great writer, da-da-da-da." And we're still actually Instagram friends still today. I hope if you're listening. So how fun is that? But that was a few years earlier. So fast forward back to Lindsay Google and the formula to turn her blog into a book. Okay. So we're back there now. And I did what it said. And so therefore I have my first quote unquote manuscript. Okay. Now it took me 4 years to finish this book. Now, let me tell you why. Let's guess. Who wants to guess? Who wants to guess? That's right. It's the inner critic. Now, I didn't have a name for it at the time. I had no idea what was happening to me. I just struggled. I kept struggling. I would make strides. I would work diligently. I would do what God said. Like, I was doing all the things, but there's still something that was kind of sabotaging me, you know? And it was the inner critic. Hashtag my own mind. That partner is sometimes with the enemy. So it doesn't have to be scary, guys. It's actually very practical and there's easy ways to walk out of these things. But if we make it super scary, then we don't even want to go there. So how did the book get done, Lens? Get to the point. All right, here we go. So I had in a amazing, hilarious way, God is cool. I was at a church retreat here in Los Angeles, and I was in the bathroom brushing my teeth at this kind of scary cabin at a Salvation Army camp in Malibu. I know, right? Sounds like we're really suffering for the gospel here in Malibu. But I was brushing my teeth, and there was another gal in there, and we started talking. We ended up switching information, becoming friends, and later on, I ended up helping her write her book. Now, the funny part was, I had never written a book before, but she read my blog. Oh, here comes the blog, right? Oh, P.S., no one read my blog, really. I mean, once in a while, somebody would, and, you know, I used to pray, like, God, lead whoever you want to read my blog. If it helps one person, it was worth it, because that's how I truly felt. Like, I wasn't trying to be over-spiritual. I really felt that, and the truth was, every few months, someone would email me and say, like, wow, your blog really helped me. And it really encouraged me to keep going. So that's all real and true. It was beautiful. I didn't make a penny ever, but I helped people and I loved that. You know, I loved it. And so I wanted to help more people though, you know, so how do we do that? But, you know, the truth is the inner critic doesn't want you to help people because it doesn't even want you to be helped. It doesn't really like us. But anyway, sorry, I digress. So this gal said, I think you could help me write my book. And I said, well, I've never written a book before. And she goes, but I read your blog and I think you're a great writer and I think you could help me write my book. And so we made a deal. And she compensated me very well to do this thing I'd never done, which is a miracle in itself. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful experience. It was a great partnership. It was just wonderful in a lot of ways. And then we brought someone in at the end to help her finish it because I didn't really know how to, like, you know, title it, wrap it up. Do the editing and stuff. She needed someone a little more experienced than me to do that. So I had worked for a ghostwriter and we brought that together, which was beautiful. So that worked out. And then I went to ministry school at Bethel. I don't know how many of you know what Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry is, but it's a wild, wild place. And when I was at Bethel, I ended up ghostwriting another book for another woman. And I wrote this book in about 4 months. And I wrote it front to back, like, did the whole thing. And I felt God say to me, Lindsay, now you know that you can write a book, so it's time to finish yours. And I was like, I didn't know what my problem was. Like, why couldn't I finish my book? You know, I was working diligently. I'm a hard worker. I mean, I can push myself. I'm smart. Like, there was no real reason that I was not finishing the book. I have now written 2 other people's books. So what was the problem? That's a good question. I bet you know the answer. So God will sometimes help you break through your inner critic in multiple small steps, okay? And and for me, there was this talent show. And Bethel is the most loving environment, like, probably that I've ever been. So, like, you could be horrific at something and they would be like, yeah, you're amazing. Very encouraging environment. So I was going to the talent show and I'm like, well, I don't, you know, play an instrument or sing, so I don't have a talent to share with the group. And then I felt the Lord be like, why don't you read the first chapter of your book? And I thought, because that would be scary, God. And I knew it was him and I was terrified, but I know enough to usually do what God says. Far from perfect over here, but I try to do what God says. Oh, I said, okay. And I told my leader, like, I want to read my book, but I was terrified. I mean, terror was like radiating through my body, right? I don't know why exactly. Probably because there was good things to come and the inner critic really didn't want those things to come. So he's going to terrorize me. he's so mean. So But luckily, we overcome. And so I got up there scared as bananas, and I, with a shaky hand, standing up there, like awkwardly standing, you know how you do when you're nervous, like gripping the microphone, like so much that my knuckles were probably turning red, with the microphone like all the way up to my lips, you know what I mean, where it's just so awkward. And then the paper like so close to my face, and I'm reading it kind of shaking, right? But doing my darn best. That was the first breakthrough, right? That then led to at least enough confidence to realize, like, all right, well, people don't hate it, you know? But I was stuck. I was stuck. And I asked God, God, what is my problem? Because I, y'all, could not figure it out. And God said, you're afraid. And I said, what am I afraid of? And he said, you're afraid that you're going to lead people astray, and you're afraid that people won't like you. And I said, you're right, God. That is what I'm afraid of. And he said, well, some people won't like you, but do it anyway. Yeah, so it was pretty powerful. And then he said, gave me some more directives. Turn off. Get off Instagram. I love Instagram, y'all. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I love me some Instagram. He's like, get off Instagram until you finish the book. Now, y'all, that is quite, that is quite a carrot God put out there for me. Because if I wanted to get back on Instagram, I need to finish this darn book. And so I did, but man, it was hard. And I was at Bethel. Like, come on, it's like the Disneyland for Christians, you know? You would have thought like angels were flying to my picnic table to help me, you know? Maybe they were, but man, it didn't really feel like it. It felt like, why is this so hard? But I kept pushing and pushing, pushing that little book baby out. And so I got it finished, came back to LA. There was another little angel here in town who then helped me kind of like do the rest of it. But it was like not all rainbows and puppy dogs. Can I be honest with y'all? Okay. There was just a lot. And I'm not saying that it was hard in the natural per se. It was hard in the inner world. You know I like to talk about the inner world, right? It was hard in the inner world for like a multitude of reasons, right? But I like to take that all and put it under one umbrella and call it the inner critic. And so that's what we do. And I, you know, finally got it uploaded and published, whatnot. And, you know, it was so beautiful. On the other side, it was beautiful just to have done something like that. So I encourage you, if you are on that journey, like keep going, even though it feels like sometimes like you can't or you want to quit. Trust me, I know. And the problem with the inner critic is he comes back a lot when you're starting to do something else. I'm going to be hashtag honest with you because you guys know your lens loves to be honest on the podcast. I mean, every time I step into a new thing, I feel quite similar. It's unfortunate, but it's true. And just today, I thought, you know what, God, I just don't know if I can keep doing this business you've told me to build. Like, and I'm going to talk more about, you know, stepping into starting a business on a podcast in the future. So come back, would you? But just today, just to be real, y'all know I like to keep it real. But like just today, I was like, I messaged a friend. I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like I've been working on this for so many years and it has not broken through financially yet. You know, I had a corporate side gig that was providing money for me so I could continue to do, you know, what I feel like God's calling me to do. And that, you know, came to an end. I mean, it was a contract thing. So it came to an end. And you know, now I'm back to like trusting God and faith. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying like I need to give it a cartoon name because it's just harder. It's hard. It's hard if we're honest. But you know what? Good things can be hard. So anyway, and God is good. And you know, he has joy and peace and all the good things. So amen to that. And he helps us with everything. But just today, I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I knew he wanted me to come on and do this podcast. I knew he wanted me to do a YouTube, you know, show or a YouTube episode. I knew he wanted me to talk about the inner critic with you guys. I knew he wanted me to pitch my inner critic, you know, live workshop that I'm like so pumped to do. I knew he wanted me to, but I just was like, Lord, I've done this before. I've done things like this before, and they haven't really prospered like I thought they would, you know, and I've still had to like struggle financially, and I've still had to like get a corporate side gig, and I've still had to like, you know, go without things and, you know, drive a 13-year-old car, even though I'm 46 years old. And if I stayed in corporate, would be making a ton of cash right now. You know what I mean? Like, and I start to feel a little sorry for myself. Can I just get an amen? Right? We do this sometimes. It's okay. We don't need to condemn ourselves. But it's just hashtag real talk. So, you know, as we move through and we do conquer, right? We conquer the inner critic with that book, you know? Like, I launched the book. I sold over 1,000 copies with zero marketing dollars. Like, God gave me a strategy in which to launch my book. And I sold over 1,000 copies. And I didn't spend one penny on marketing. Like, God is a boss. God is so cool. Like, I think it was like four different friends volunteered without me even asking to have a book launch party for me in different cities. It was amazing. Like, I ended up doing my own event in Redding, California, you know, to promote my book. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was so powerful. So, I mean, so much goodness came out of that book. I've had multiple people tell me how impactful it's been in their life. People tell me it's funny. I didn't know it was funny. I thought the book was freaking, you know, healing. People are like, it's so funny, Lindsay. And I'm like, it's great. I had no idea. And now, you know, I'm doing improv at a local comedy club. I mean, who knew, right? Who knows what's up ahead? So we have to overcome the inner critic. We have to realize, no shame. We all have it. It kind of comes with the territory a little bit if we're really honest with ourselves, even if we don't want to admit it. And, you know, it's okay because we, you know, we win. We win. We always win. But sometimes we have to face a giant or two, and sometimes those giants live in our heads. And just for fun, I give it kind of a clever name, the inner critic. I mean, I could use the intense names, but you know, life is intense enough. Can't we just have fun? Look, God told me, Lindsay, healing can be fun. I love that. Healing can be fun. Who knew? I didn't know. But it's true. Healing can be fun. So that's exciting, guys. That's exciting news. And when I say healing, I just mean like inner healing, soul healing. What's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? Our mind, that's mental, right? We call that mental health in the real world, right? That's fine. Call it whatever you want. You know, mind, will, emotions, our emotions. What are our emotions? It's emotional health. We're starting to talk about that. I love it. It's my favorite. You know, call it whatever you will. Your will, what's your will? Your will is control. It's what you want to happen, right? It's what you make happen. And the truth is, the best way is to surrender our will to God and learn to trust God, learn that he loves us, learn to receive his love, and then we will be able to trust him more and trust his faith. Y'all, it's so beautiful. God is so powerful. He's so amazing. And he wants to help us with the assignments that he gives us, and he wants to empower us, encourage us, grow us, develop us. And it's an amazing adventure. It's an amazing adventure. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes you voice memo your friend and you're telling them you want to quit and you even break down and have a little tear. That may have been me today. Yes, that's right. You know, you may have another friend that you say, hey, my head's in the toilet right now, you know, and they message you back and they're like, do your declarations, Lindsay. I'm like, you're right. I'm going to do that. So sometimes we need a little encouragement, okay? But anyway, I'm going to stop talking now. But I do encourage you. I encourage you to spend 27 doll hairs. That's really nothing, honestly. Let's be real. And let's learn about this. Let's overcome. Let's get out of our own way, okay? Let's expose that voice in our head, and then shut it down, okay? Let's learn the weapon of ignore. I got that from Chris Felton. I like to give credit where credit is due. But the weapon of ignore is powerful. But sometimes if you don't know it's there, you don't even know why you're functioning like you're functioning. And that will keep you spinning around inside that little hamster wheel in your head, and you won't get anywhere. So trust me, I know this from experience. Okay, so I bless you guys. I'm going to pray for us because Jesus is so beautiful. So Lord Jesus, thank you for just being awesome. And thank you for the awesome call, the awesome dream that you've given every single person in this world. You don't leave anyone out. No one's like, oh, they're so talented and they're not. No, that is not you, God. You give everyone talent. You give everyone gifts and you ask us to use them, God. You give us talents. And if we don't use them, you actually give them to other people. That's what the parable of talent says. And to me, I'm like, I don't want you to give it to anyone else, God. I want that, you know? So I just believe that, you want us to accomplish what you have created us for, and you're excited to go on the adventure with us, God. So I just thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives, God, mine and my friends that are listening to the podcast, God. I pray that if people do need to come to the workshop, it's pretty low cost. I pray that you lead them to come, Lord. And get what they need, God. So I bless them and I bless all of our projects, all the things that you've put in our hands to accomplish for your kingdom, God. Not that we're here just to be little human doings. We are human beings, but out of who we are is what we end up doing because it's what you created us to do. And that's so cool and powerful and beautiful, God. So I bless my friends in Jesus' name. Amen.